Well, good morning and welcome to Great Shelford Free Church. Whether you're in the building, it's lovely to see so many people in the building. I think this is the first time I've done the Sunday after Christmas. Most ministers don't do it. But we're here together. Thank you for coming along. Or whether you're watching online or later in the week, thank you for joining us on our Sunday service after Christmas. It's good to be together. If you have any prayer requests, please do put them on the Facebook feed. We'd love to, at the end, just gather those in. It's become one of our traditions just to have an opportunity to gather together collectively. And a reminder, it's an important to remind that we still are collecting for the food bank. The drop-off point is still outside the church. It's there accessible 24 hours a day, so you're welcome to drop anything by. Please do, let's give generously during this time. We have a couple of congratulations. Congratulations to Lou and Joel on the birth of baby Jack on Boxing Day. That was good news. They're all back home safe and sound and well. So congratulations, Lou and Joel. And also we need to wish a very special happy birthday to Alicia Diamonds. It's an important birthday. I'm not going to say what it is, but she was trying to find many ways to celebrate it. Well, they all got cancelled and rearranged. Hopefully, Alicia, you found a way of marking this special day with your family today. So happy birthday. I won't sing happy birthday. My voice really isn't up for singing. It's not a pretty sight. But happy birthday to you, Alicia, and God bless you this day. We haven't got an evening prayer session this evening. We're having a week off. Bismarck's taking the week off. But from next Sunday, we're launching our week of prayer. So hopefully Bismarck will share a little bit about that. There's details in the link. If you're in the building, you should have picked up a little leaflet. It's at the back if you'd like it, detailing the week of prayer. We'll give those out at the end if you would like one. From Sunday the 10th, we're doing a series called Frontline Sundays. It's by the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. It takes us over 5 weeks thinking about how we gather and then how we're scattered, quite apt really in our time of being scattered more than being gathered. So we'll be starting that on the 10th. That goes through our small group material as well, so you'll be able to learn a little bit on Sunday, talk about it in the week. So we'll be starting that on the 10th. We're going to just watch a little introduction to that, and then we're going to let our worship team open our time of worship. So let's watch that now.
Over a month, around 6% of the UK gather together to worship Jesus.
It feels like we're too few to make a difference.
But the reality is, Monday to Saturday, God has us, scattered in the world, connecting to hundreds and thousands of people.
So wherever you are,
whoever you are,
whatever you do,
you can make all the difference in the world.
And on Sundays, when we gather together,
we strengthen and empower one another to be sent out again
for life on our front lines.
Come, let our grace save again.
We're going to now listen to Clive and Diana as they share some of the Christmas story.
Well, good morning, everyone. By the time you watch this, Christmas will be over. Christmas can't be over. You haven't had any presents yet. No, but we're recording this before Christmas for people to watch after Christmas. So no more Christmas stories then. Well, we are going to have another Christmas story. And this one is about some wise men who came to find Jesus. And it's a story that we especially celebrate at the beginning of January. Did you know that in some countries they don't have their presents until the 6th of January? And the Christmas season lasts longer. That sounds good. A longer celebration. Well, I think the birth of Jesus is something worth celebrating every day. Can we hear the story? Yes, we will. The story is called The Star That Went Zoom. Twinkle, twinkle went the stars, and the star watchers nodded and smiled. That's a pretty one, the first star watcher said. And look how brightly that star is shining, the second star watcher said. And that big one over there, cried the third star watcher. Never seen one so huge. And as they looked at the big star, it went zoom across the sky. What do you think that means? The star watchers asked one another, and they hurried to get their special star watching books. It says here that a huge zooming star means that a new king has been born, the first star watcher said. We should go and worship him, the second star watcher said. Yes, said the third, and we should take him some presents. So that's what they did. They gathered their servants and loaded their camels and set off to follow the star that went zoom. The star zoomed left and the star zoomed right. It zoomed over mountains and rivers and over hills and deserts. The star watchers followed the star for many weeks and months, and they had many adventures on the way. But finally, the star led them to Bethlehem, where it was no longer zooming, but just creeping along very slowly, leading them through the narrow streets of the town. Then it stopped and hovered silently over an ordinary-looking house. This must be the place, said the first star watcher. It doesn't look like a palace for a king, said the second star watcher. Let's go and see for ourselves, said the third star watcher, and he knocked on the door. An ordinary looking man opened the door. We're sorry to trouble you, said the first star watcher. We followed the star that went zoom and it led us right here, said the second star watcher. We're looking for a baby king, said the third star watcher. Do you happen to have a baby here? The man, who was Joseph, smiled and said, as a matter of fact, we do. And he invited them in to see the little Jesus, who was sitting on his mother's lap. As soon as they saw him, the star watchers knew that they were in the right place and they fell to their knees before him and gave him their presents. Presents they had brought all the way from the east. But they weren't the sort of presents that people usually give to babies. Oh no, no rattles or building blocks or soft toys. They gave him presents fit for a king. Bright shiny gold, a rich perfume called myrrh, and frankincense, a sweet smelling oil. Then the Star Watchers stood and bowed and said goodbye and travelled home to the east under the twinkling stars. They went a long way to see Jesus. Yes, they did, and it took them a long time. There won't be long journeys this Christmas. No, people are being encouraged not to travel very far this year because of the coronavirus. People can't see those that they would like to. No, not this year. But we don't need to travel very far to see Jesus, because he is always with us. That's right. But often we get so distracted by the celebrations of Christmas that we forget to welcome him and spend time with him. We get too busy to worship him ourselves. It's not too late. Even though Christmas is over. No, it's never too late to stop, to be still, and to spend time with Jesus. And that is one of the best gifts that we can give him. Goodbye.
Well, thank you, Diana and Clive, for sharing with us this week. We're going to hear a message recorded by Beth Powney. Beth Powney is the team leader of the Eastern Baptist Association. Many might know her or know of her, and she's going to share with us God's word this morning. So we'll listen to that now. Thank you, Toby.
At Christmas, we often refer to the three wise men, or the three magi. And many of you will be familiar with the fact that although there were three gifts given, we don't actually know how many magi or wise men there were. We have no idea how many travelled to see Jesus. However, today, I want to introduce you to another three, what I would call wise people. And for the purposes of today, I'm calling them the three wise women who are found in the first two chapters of Luke, and who we heard a little bit about in our reading today. This is Mary, Elizabeth, and the not so well known Anna. But first of all, when was the last time that you heard shocking but good news? I think we can probably all remember a time when we heard shocking but bad news, especially this year. But what about shocking but good news? This year, Stephen and I did receive some shocking but good news. About 6 months ago, we were pinned down for a WhatsApp call with our son and his wife. About a month earlier, they told us they were pregnant. So what was this about? We were a little bit concerned. But when we connected to the call, they had big smiles on their faces. So at that point, we were greatly relieved. And then very carefully, they held up the photograph of Kit's latest ultrasound scan. And they moved it towards the camera. And we began to see that the picture in front of us was not of a single baby, and that this photograph was clearly labelled twin one and twin two. Oh my goodness, they were expecting twins. Of course, we were delighted and we completely believed them. We had the evidence before our eyes. What about these women in Luke's narrative and their absolute assertion that the baby Mary was carrying was the Son of God? How did they know the angel was speaking the truth? They didn't have a photograph. And how about you with your shocking but good news? How did you react? Did you have evidence? Were you a bit in the dark like our women? I wonder, have you ever come across that phrase, "I just know it in my knower"? Maybe not. It's a bit of an old-fashioned phrase that my mum used to use. But I think something of it resonates here. They knew because they just knew. So what did they know? And perhaps more to the point, How did they know? So let's return to our three wise women, Mary, Elizabeth, and Anna. What about their reactions to Jesus' imminent and actual birth, and what were they told? Mary hears from an angel, and the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High." And oh, the angel goes on. I won't do it all here. Do you know, so often at Christmas, I reflect on how this young teenage girl received this news and how she reacted. Each time, each year, it amazes me. She ends up in verse 38 saying this, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered the angel. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Wow. She had had an encounter with an angelic being. She was also steeped in learning of the Jewish people about the coming Messiah, but nothing could have prepared her for this. How was this not just, I don't know, another dream? How was this not just some flight of fancy? How was this not fake news? In some ways, I think she knew because she just knew. I think there's two things. Human beings have been given an amazing natural capacity to search out truth when they really want to. It's often referred to as our conscience. And I'm sure that that was part of her discernment of truth, part of her just knowing. But more than that, as followers of God, and for us as followers of Jesus, we've been given spiritual discernment, which is in part kind of instinctive when we walk close to God. And if we're in daily contact with our Lord, then we recognize his voice and his actions are familiar. And I think this is a large part of what was going on for Mary here. This was a message from Yahweh. The angel was a messenger from Almighty God, the God she loved, trusted, and followed. Secondly, we use spiritual discernment alongside other knowledge of what has gone on before and what has been promised. That found in the Word of God, the Bible for us, and the law and the prophets for Mary. In this sense, she very rapidly put the jigsaw pieces together from all she knew and all she had been taught. So the fact that she knew because she just knew relates to much more than an instant reaction, but rather all of these discerning qualities kind of coming together at the same time. The scriptures, her closeness to God, this big spiritual angel presence like no dream she had ever had. She knew because she knew. So much of what she understood about God had come together in one moment. Therefore, she could say, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Secondly, we have Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who is an older woman married to Zechariah the priest, and she has fallen pregnant after very many years of not being able to conceive a child. And now she is bearing the man that becomes John the Baptist, who will prophesy about Jesus, who prepares the way for Jesus. And the verses we read recount these two pregnant women meeting, and it describes Elizabeth's baby's reaction to Mary's baby. Elizabeth had presumably heard the prophecy given to her husband Zechariah about their son, and she was a descendant of the priestly tribe of Aaron. She would have understood prophecy and how God works through it. The Bible's full of it. The law and the scriptures and the prophets were full of it. For her, the confirmation that the one who would save the world was coming was when her baby reacted to Mary's baby. The verses we read say this, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. She didn't stop for long interrogations with Mary. How did you get pregnant? You're not even married. How could this be happening? No, as these women met, there was this kind of visceral, spiritual reaction which occurred. And she knew because she knew. She knew that she was encountering a work of the living God. Now, in saying all of this, I am not suggesting for one moment that we turn our brains off when we're trying to understand what God might be doing or whether he is even relevant to our lives. I think these two women were both intelligent women who would have known their scriptures and the promises found there. They would already have done the investigating. But here we have the culmination of that experience, the discernment of God breaking into the knowledge with spiritual revelation. I'd like you to listen to somebody else now. I'd like you to hear Sanjay's story as it's been recorded by the Evangelical Alliance on their Great Commission website. This is a story of how he came to a place of knowing, understanding and believing, and then seeing how this can work therefore for us today before we continue learning about our three wise women and conclude with Anna.
And that was the biggest shock to me, that Christians are normal. My name is Sanjay and this is my story. When I left home, I did a degree and then I did a master's and then I did a PhD. I think that sort of led me to then, I went on to do research in biochemical engineering. So I was, you know, educating myself, learning, not really interested in God at all. There can't be a God, as far as I was concerned then. If you just look at the world, how can there be a God? I ask the same questions every atheist asks, you know. I would say that the world was created not by God, but by reactions that are quite complicated. But it's always the question, so what came before that? You kind of think there has to be more. My wife at the time was working, so I looked after the children, and we had two, then we had three. So I met a lot of the women in the church with their children. Some of the ladies said, oh, come to our church, come through. And I said, I'm not coming in your church building. I'm not coming. I know what you're trying to do. It's not going to work. You know, here I am today. And they didn't con me. They didn't trick me. I didn't kind of fall into Jesus by trickery or anything like that. They taught me, and they taught me in a very nice way. So they were all right. I thought, oh, these women are great. They're all right. They're normal. Nothing wrong with them. I wonder what their husbands are like. They must be a bit geeky. They must be Christian, you know, weird men. So, and then I met with the men, and it was amazing because they were just like me. We believe in things that there are hardly any manuscripts about and any data, and we believe them. And yet there are thousands of manuscripts about Jesus, and we don't believe that. So it doesn't kind of add up, and you have to look at what, you know, even scientifically, you have to look at what's there, and then look at it, and it points to the Bible, and it points to Jesus was there, he did exist, he is true, he was the Son of God, and all those things, and it's pretty amazing when you wake up. So I know I'm a sinner, and I know I needed to be saved. And once I understood sin, then it became clear, because I know I've been saved for all the things I've done. You know, it's amazing, you know, Jesus, you know, did that, and I'm forgiven.
So Sanjay looked at all of the evidence. He used his highly intelligent brain. He did not chuck his intellect out. But in the end, he just knew, or he knew, that he needed Jesus, that Jesus was the one offering life and truth and forgiveness, nothing that his intellect could bring him. So to return to our final wise woman then, Anna. She is described as a prophet in chapter 2 of Luke, verses 36 to 38. We are told that she was 84, and she'd always remained faithful to God, worshipping at the temple daily. She was a faithful Jewish believer. Deep, deep in her heart, she was waiting for the one who was to come, the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who would bring salvation to all. Then one day, along came Mary and Joseph with Jesus to be presented to the temple following the Jewish tradition. And in that moment, she just knew that this child was the one she had waited for all of her life. And so in her old age, we are told that she said this. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Once she knew, once she really knew, she wasn't going to hold back. She was going to tell everybody who Jesus was. So I have two challenges to us this Christmas, this very strange Christmas time that we're in for 2020. Tell me, what is missing in your life? What is it that you wish you just knew to be true? Perhaps you've heard this story so many times and you wish you believed it, like those Christian friends that you've got. You wish you could believe. You wish you could have their faith. You see the Christmas lights and the tinsel, and perhaps this year more than any other, you're looking for something that might just be true and secure and trustworthy. You've examined the facts and you long to believe. So I would say to you, deep down, I am sure you just know in your knower that there is truth here which saves, which brings peace and forgiveness. Jesus said during his ministry on earth that he was the way, the truth and the life, and the only way to the Father. So stop wrestling with the unanswered questions and follow the example of these wise women who pieced the jigsaw pieces together and embraced what they knew was truth, that Jesus was the one sent by God, the one who could save us all and still can. On the other hand, if you're already convinced in your knower that Jesus is the Son of God who has saved you, then consider the example of the women at the toddler group who shared the truths of their faith with Sanjay. Also consider the 84-year-old Anna, who did not see her job as done. But it was just a beginning as she set out to tell all about the one who had come to bring redemption. That is forgiveness, peace and truth for us all, and that which can be found in Jesus. So to sum up then, you may not have a grand angel visitation. You may not hear singing heavenly choirs. You may not have a voice speaking to you in a dream. But when you have that sense that something is right and it is as important as who Jesus is, don't ignore the rumblings in your very innermost being. Take the chance to believe and see where the journey of believing in Jesus takes you. I promise you will not be disappointed. May you have a very happy and blessed Christmas. Thank you.
the streets of Bethlehem, looking for a savior. Have you seen him? We listen to the angels with the news of deepest joy. Now we're on our way to find this boy.
Thank you, Beth, for sharing God's word with us this morning. Thank you for Dinah and Clive. I'd love just to close our time by praying for us as a community. There's a couple of things on the comments as well, so I'll pray for those. Let's do those first. Lord God, we pray for all those who are struggling with difficulties in these uncertain times. And Lord God, we think specifically of those stuck at home, isolated, where their plans have changed, where what compromises they'd already made, they had to make more, where rather than gathered in the noise and the laughter, they were by themselves. Lord God, we pray that in those times of isolation, in disappointments, in brokenness, that Lord God, you would speak and comfort and guide us. And as we reach the end of this year and bumble into the next, I pray that you would sustain us in the challenges ahead. For all of us disappointed that things have not speeded up, that restrictions still gather, I pray that you would give us patience and wisdom to do what we're supposed to do well. Pray for those who are organizing and planning business, industry, schools, households. I pray that as Christians we would be the best that we can be, demonstrating your love and grace with how compassionate and caring and wise we are in our actions. I want to also pray for David Baslington and Through Faith Missions as they move from their office block, office building, and work from home without a premises for the first time. I pray that you would guide them. Thank you for David, and I pray a blessing on them. And Lord God, for our whole service, our whole collective gatherings, I thank you that they hold us together as a community, but they aren't the community. We are, whether we're gathered here or scattered around. Lord God, I pray that you would keep us close this end of this year and into the new. Amen. Well, next week, Richard Renouf will be speaking to us and hosting our service. So thank you, Richard, for stepping in for next week as we take a little bit of a few days off. I'd love to finish by saying the grace to each other if you're in the building, although you can't do it too loud. And to those you're at home with as well. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen. Amen. And we're going to finish our service. We're going to hand back to the worship band who will close our service for us. Thank you. Yeah.
Majesty, worship His Majesty.